Generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coast side, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond. This is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalyn.
All right, that's us. This is Ruben. That's Crystalyn.
Morning, good Crystalyn. Morning.
Okay, it's Coastal Windage, as you know, Friday, October 24th, 2025. It's Friday. We're here every Friday. It's your Coastal Windage Day. I know people, that's why people look forward to Fridays. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's really no other reason. It's just another day of the week, except there's one unique identifier. It's Coastal Windage Day. Yeah, we've got a new engineer this morning. His name is Frank. I guess it's his first day on the job. Nice job, Frank. It's windshield wiper weather out there this morning. I mean, and not just the variable one. It's like the on, constantly on.
I did. I had to put it on number two.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. I started out with no windshield wipers. That lasted about a second. Then went to the intermittent one where, like, and after a couple tries of that where it was just completely beaded up with water, had to go to the, setting number two, which is the slow constant wipe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So it is windshield wiper weather this morning. Yeah, grim out there. All right, but this is Coastal Windage. We're here every Friday, 9 to 10, KHMB. Let's get right into it because, as always, we have way more content than we have time for, which is why people love this show, because it's just nonstop action, right?
Mm-hmm.
At 9 in the morning, which most people is like 9 in the morning. For me, this is like 4 in the morning. So that's why I have to have nonstop action just to keep me going at this ungodly time of the morning. All right. Let's get into our topics. Some public service announcements. You know, one of my ongoing beefs, would be that there's just not enough local information, or at least not enough consolidated local information. You got to go to a million different places now. Coastside News, as I've said many times, covers local stories, but it is no longer a local presence. There's no office here. There's nowhere to go. There's nobody to see or talk to in person. They don't have an office here anymore, so it doesn't.
Except I will say I run into Ashton daily.
Okay, I'm not saying they don't have people covering events here, but
not at events. I see him at the coffee shop. Okay, I see him getting lunch.
Yes. This is Ashton Hack. He's a reporter.
Yes.
Which, Ashton, dude, Hack? You got to change your last name. That can't be the name. Ashton Hack, I'm a reporter. You're a Hack reporter? No, my name is Ashton Hack. I'm a reporter. I'm just saying,
And, hey, his family could have been the inventors of the Hacky Sack. So,
So is his last name pronounced Hack or Hacky?
Actually, it's Hack.
But it looks like Hacky. Okay. Yes, Ashton's around.
Emma is around,
and we've had her on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, so it's one thing to have employees that live here. It's another to have a place where people can go for your business. And there is no such place here on the coast side for our once local newspaper. That's all I'm saying. And so it's hard to find information. So we got some public service announcements of some things that have fallen through the cracks. Then we do our annual football, state of, where I gloat in my incredible prediction that nobody, if you were in Vegas, this would have been a gazillion to one, and every year it creeps closer to becoming true. So I like to, like I said, maybe it's a little gloating tour. What we're really looking forward to in the back half of the show, our Shooting the Breeze live interview with Karen Egan. Good morning, Karen. Karen is an academic success coordinator, among many other things. that she does. She's an academic success coordinator for the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside Academic Success Center. And we're going to hear all about that. I heard about it from a presentation that Karen gave on Tuesday, and I was wowed. We had to have her on the show. People in this community need to know what the Boys and Girls Club and folks like Karen are doing for our children here. Okay. So those are our topics today. Air quality report. We got to do it. We especially got to do it today because we've got our single digit. We got single digit air quality today. Remember, 0 to 50 is incredible. 51 to 100 is pretty good. Remember, we also give you an Easter egg location if you can figure that out. And you call in and are correct in guessing why this location was provided. We still got the windage bucks. The Half Moon Bay High School football season is almost over, but windage bucks last until next July. So you want to get these windage bucks, 13 different local businesses offering up to and over $100 worth of discounts and freebies. You want these windage bucks. Here we go. Okay. Today in El Granada, three. It's three. You can't beat three. I mean, I guess you could. Two and one and zero. We have had zero, but three is just delicious. Three also in Half Moon Bay, 31 in Redwood City, 41 in Santa Cruz, and today in Tucson, Arizona, six. Okay, Tucson is your Easter egg, listeners. Why Tucson? Well, listen, and you shall discover why. Okay, Pumpkin Fest. I'm calling this the Pumpkin Fest after party. The interns wanted to call it the Pumpkin Fest postmortem, but that sounds a little negative.
Yeah.
I mean, I did have them look it up, and
it is a real thing.
Definition number two in Merriam-Webster is just a review of something after the fact, but definition number one is an autopsy. So, no, in fact, I would say it's the complete opposite of an autopsy. Rumors of the death of the Pumpkin Festival is premature. In fact, the Pumpkin Festival felt never more alive to me than it did this weekend. It seems like an instant classic, especially Saturday. Now, we talked about how Cameron paid the extra money to the weather gods to get the good weather. Apparently, they tried to strong arm him Saturday night for some extra cash because Sunday morning the sun came out and we're at the pancake station, and about 7:30 we started to put our sunglasses on as the sun came over the hill. And, like, literally came over the hill, put the sunglasses on, and then here came Carl. Came in, the fog came in, and so Sunday was a little...
But not cold. It was, like, a good fog, and it wasn't wet. That's the worst, is when it's, like, a wet fog, and then everything's getting damp and gross. I think it was still very comfortable.
Yes, a wet fog, like, this morning.
Yes.
No, yeah, and then Saturday was unbelievable. So let's just talk about Saturday, because Saturday is the big day. I mean, it's got the parade. The parade brought back the homecoming court, which is a tradition that had been long standing but had kind of died off somehow. So those are the kinds of things, and it's just felt like a hometown, small town parade and event. How did the wine booths go?
We did great, yeah. We ran out of wine glasses. However, we do have a couple at the office, so if anybody's a diehard wine glass collector, get to the office as soon as you can. And
hold on, has there been a, like the posters, has there been a wine glass for every pumpkin? So have you ever met anybody or seen their collection of somebody that has all the wine glasses?
We did. So shout out to my predecessor, Cherise. Cherise had kept every glass. Unfortunately, when we moved our office, we didn't have a space to display them anymore. So the History Association has them now.
But they're still.
Yeah.
So if we went over to the old jail where the History Association is.
I'm not sure if they've made a display for them yet, but because they only got them about 2 months ago, we had them safely stored. But there's quite a few people out there that have extensive collections.
Wow, that's very cool. Okay, so you have a few left over from this year.
Mm-hmm.
What's the cost of a wine glass?
$10, and it's a fundraiser for the chamber. And thank you to Half Moon Bay Winery, who makes all of that possible for us, and then the Pumpkin Fest. And then as an indication of the crowds, we sold about as much wine as the 50th anniversary. So we sold roughly 832 more glasses of wine than we did last year.
832 more? How many total glasses of wine did you sell?
I believe it is roughly 2,000.
Okay, so you subtract my 35.
Yeah.
2,000 glasses of wine. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's pretty good. So you, and the Pumpkin Festival is...
Oh, sorry. We had 3,000 glasses, and we blew through, we had some left over from last year, so we started giving them out, the last year ones. So we went through roughly 3,600 glasses. So then on top of that 3,000, then another 2,000 pours. So probably closer to 5,000.
Now, the Pumpkin Festival is a major, major fundraiser for many different groups on the coastside. I mentioned I was working at the Pancake Breakfast Station. That is a fundraiser for the Half Moon Bay High School boys basketball team. Pretty fun, actually. I don't like getting up in the morning, but once I'm there... it's fun. Saw you there. Saw your dad there. Saw other people that, you know, in town. That's one of the great things about working a station at Pumpkin Festival is you're going to see lots of people that you know and feel the community that we got lots of people coming from over the hill for Pumpkin Festival. But it's also a local event where you see your friends. And here's the thing that just like all the pieces came together this year of from my vantage point, it seemed very well attended. Mm-hmm. And yet it didn't feel like there was just like a crush of just like, oh, there's too many people. Felt like just the right amount. You have to have a critical mass to make it feel like this is a big event without going too far like you can't get anywhere, get anything.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to the Pumpkin Festival, to the Beautification Committee, and the wonderful gentleman that they work with, Ronan. As somebody who... I am pretty detail-oriented and a logistics person. So throughout the entire weekend, I kept noticing, like, little tweaks. Just little, you know, this booth is moved ever so slightly this way, or a booth that's normally kind of in one space is in another space. One of our booths got moved, which was couldn't have been even better for us. And but all throughout the weekend, all throughout the festival, just saw all these little changes that somebody would not necessarily notice unless they were OCD like myself. And every one of them just seemed to be for the better, like just made the flow better, made, you know, getting to things easier. It was just really, really, really well done.
I also want to give a shout out, speaking of Beautification Committee, to Cameron yeah. Palmer. Not only organizing this, he's president of the Beautification Committee, Naomi Patridge, vice president. Great job by those two folks.
And Susie, she's also on the committee and I know puts a lot of effort in.
What's Susie's last name?
I'm going to butcher it. Susie M. You know who you are.
Right. That's my job to butcher people's names. Karen Egan. Good morning again, Karen. I had to practice that like all night last night. Because I will still mispronounce it at some point today. It will happen. We should give a windage bucks for like the person that calls in the first time I butcher my own name or something. Cameron. Anyways, shout out to Cameron because not only organizing, but the energy mm-hmm. and the passion that he puts into it, and you see him all over the place. He came. He and Supervisor Ray Mueller came into Pancake Breakfast, but just the like. I don't know how many cups of coffee Cameron drinks, or I've seen him enough over the years to know that this is not an act or anything. This is just how he is. And the community is just so lucky to have somebody that's such an advocate for the community and something like this Pumpkin Festival. It brought a smile to my face to see Cameron out there doing his thing this weekend. So shout out to Cameron. Nice job. Also sponsor of this show. I mean, we're connected here, you know, at Coastal.
He's a community champion.
Yes, that's a great word for it. Karen, did you go to the Pumpkin Festival?
I did not.
Is this something that you are, you know, sometimes locals are like, oh, I've been a few times, I'm going to skip it this year. Have you, you have been to the Pumpkin Festival?
We have.
When's the last, post-COVID have you been?
I think we went the first year we were here, so 2019, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
great. I mean, it really was fun. And then the traffic makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Not nervous. It's just hard to get there, hard to find a place to park. If you live north.
Yeah,
or maybe
I mean,
any direction.
It seems like it's gotten better. I don't know, the traffic. Seems like it's gotten better. Again, these tweaks that are being made, I feel like, you know, every year it's being made a little bit better. And I felt like the traffic, of course, I was getting there at 5 in the morning. And
yeah, that's the real trick. Get there as early as possible.
Yeah, I mean, not only did I get there with no traffic, I had parking on Johnston Street and, you know, like right next to the pancake booth. So, okay. All right, let's move on. So I would say we chalk that up, mark that in the success box.
Mm-hmm.
Cha-ching, success. Okay. So I mentioned earlier public service announcements. No mention of any of these items on Coastside News. You will find mention of the couple of these items on CoastsideBuzz.com. So you could go there and find out about this. Okay, so public service announcement number one, ICE reports or reports of ICE presence. This is Immigration and Customs Enforcement. We don't get into national politics here, except when they affect
when they arrive,
the coast side. I had a person, a friend of our family yesterday, crying, telling me that she's afraid to leave her house. This is a person that's lived here 35 years, working, paying taxes, raising a family, has three daughters who have gone through the school system here, have graduated from college. So this is an integral family in the fabric of the coast side and our country, but she's anxious about her status and her paperwork and afraid to go anywhere to get that clarified, and now is afraid to leave her house because this week there were rumors that there was ICE or National Guard troops seen on Main Street at La Piazza Courtyard and at Tres Amigos.
Mm-hmm.
But some follow-up on that turns out that ICE is... Just, folks, ICE is not here in the community. They're not scoping things out. Those were military service members in town giving recruitment talks at Pilarcito's High School and then going to lunch at Tres Amigos or walking around town. But the point here is that the policy has created an atmosphere of fear and anxiety such that anybody... And when you start deploying military in non-military situations into urban settings for police activities or immigration activities, it creates a feeling of fear. And we're seeing that this in real life here on the coast side, people are talking about being afraid to send their kids to school or take their kids to school or go to work. And one might argue that that is the real purpose of this policy, is fear and intimidation. Per the Department of Homeland Security, as the secretary said on, this is a quote from them, as the secretary said on Monday, DHS is targeting the worst of the worst criminal illegal aliens, including murderous, rapists, gang members, pedophiles, and terrorists. As it does every day, DHS law enforcement will enforce the laws of our nation. That doesn't really ring true. Enforce the laws of the nation. It's the people are being rounded up. I mean, when you allow folks in masks and wearing tactical gear with no identifying indicia or anything, jumping out of unmarked vehicles and abducting people off the street, that is a element, an atmosphere of fear that should scare everybody in this country. Okay? And so people on the coast side are scared now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not right. You know, this is supposed to be rounding up the worst criminals because this is a law and order country or law and order administration. And yet, more than 1,200 people who violently attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, who were indicted, found guilty by a jury of their peers, sentenced to prison, have been pardoned. 1,200 convicted felons, as have a number of crypto criminals, including a couple this week, and other duly convicted felons, including clowns like George Santos, have been pardoned, and yet we have people in tactical uniforms and no identifying indicia jumping out of unmarked vehicles, abducting people and scaring people for civil or misdemeanor infractions of possible immigration violations. Okay. For those of you tough guys out there who just think this is law and order and this is following the rules of the country and there was laws broken if you have entered this country without the proper paperwork, I would just say read your history. It's just a matter of time until you two cross the line. That's what life is like in a lawless autocracy, unless you're a billionaire, of course, in which case you're above the law. I leave you with the words of the poet John Donne from 1624. For whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. So if you think you're above this or this doesn't affect you, think again. It will sooner or later. Public service announcement number two. There's going to be a community town hall on Monday at 1 p.m. to discuss the Harbor District's parking lot plans. This meeting will take place at 1 o'clock at Supervisor Ray Mueller's Coastside offices, which are in the mall. The shops at Princeton or something. The Shoppes at Princeton. I believe there's two P's and an E in that title. The Shoppes at Princeton.
It's Harbor Village Shops.
Harbor Village Shoppes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Harbor Village Shoppes. Okay. Great. 1 o'clock. You may have heard the Harbor District is, can we say this word? No. Heck-bent on creating its own self-funding tourist fiefdom up at Pillar Point Harbor, complete with hotels, restaurants, shops, and the parking lots to support them. And so they're now proposing a parking lot that is not in the boundaries of the harbor. It's not even on the same side of the highway as the harbor. And so they're taking supposedly community input on this, whether the community is going to put up with this. If you have thoughts on this, your opportunities for meaningful discourse with Harbor District officials are relatively limited. So that's why Supervisor Mueller is putting on this town hall on Monday at 1 o'clock. Supervisor Mueller will be there, as will Josh Becker, California State Senator. An unidentified Caltrans rep will be there. That's the perfect title and person for Caltrans, because Caltrans is a black box. So we don't know what their process is, who their people are, or who's going to be there, but somebody from Caltrans will be there. And this just in, even though this has been set up for a while, suddenly the Harbor District wants to get in on this. So they're holding a special session Monday morning, the Harbor District is, so they can approve yet another presentation on this Harbor District parking lot by General Manager James Pruitt.
And we should note that you can go in person, but you can also go on Zoom.
Yep.
Because everybody understands that 1 o'clock is a not-so-hot time for the working community to try to go. But Ray had mentioned in an MCC meeting that the meeting was very, very hard to coordinate with everybody's schedules. And so it was just kind of the only time that fit. But they will have a Zoom option, and it sounded like they will even take comment on Zoom.
Okay, that sounds great. We've been wanting to do a show on this topic since February or even earlier when the Harbor District announced that it had already issued requests for RFPs for this east side parking lot, even though they're saying it's not a real project yet. We're just thinking about it, but they've already gotten some RFPs on the or some asked for RFP. And receive them. So it's more farther along than that. So we've been wanting to do a show, but we're waiting for some kind of public forum like this where the public could talk about it and get some answers or express their opinions. So now that this has been set, we are now formally reaching out to the Harbor District, President Catherine Slater Carter, General Manager James Pruitt. Will you please come on the show and explain this project in detail to the Coastsiders, take their calls, and answer some direct questions? Will you? This is a direct, an official invitation to participate on this show. We've got a phone call, which is one of the things we do here on Coastal Windage. We take live listeners' phone calls. So who have we got on the phone this morning?
Good morning, Ruben.
Good morning. This sounds like the Coastal Butterfly.
It's the Coastal Butterfly. I wanted to talk to this about this event, Justice Goach.
The town hall at 1 o'clock on Monday. Yes.
Yes. So I was confused, and I run a calendar for pretty much everything on the coast side, because it was put out by Ray's office, saying that they were going to talk about Burnham Strip, which is actually not a Caltrans project. So I called the PIO from Caltrans. Her name is Janine Crawford. And I've developed a relationship with her over the last 6 months, actually since the Horseshoe 92 thing. I said, so this is what I have up on my calendar. What is this what you want to be up on the calendar? Because you're going to be there. And so she's going to be there. And then the other person from Caltrans, which is not identified on the flyer, but I know who it is. It's Kelly Ma. And Kelly Ma is the lady from Caltrans that came to the city and did the presentation. And I think she did a presentation for the MCC. She's in charge of the multi-asset maintenance repaving bike lane project. That is what the meeting is about. And if you click on the post, in the text of the post, the very first paragraph for the calendar event for October 27th, is a paragraph that Janine got for me to put there to somehow ameliorate the confusion about what this meeting is about. It's not about Burnham parking per se from Caltrans perspective. It may be something on the side. They're talking about the multi-asset project and the bike lanes.
Well, so...
And I did...
Oh, sorry, Michelle. So the Caltrans people are coming to talk about that, but other...
Yeah.
But other people there are there to take comments about the Burnham Strip parking, or because I did not get this from the flyers and the information I've seen, and I think there's going to be a lot of angry people that show up on Monday if they're not allowed to speak. I mean, I'm not saying Michelle fix this. I'm just talking out loud.
I tried to fix it as best as I can, is what I'm trying to say. And if people want to have, you know, the most accurate sort of up-to-date thing on a multi-jurisdictional meeting, I would have to say that my web page is the most accurate at this point.
Wow.
I talked to Supervisor Mueller's aide, Mike O'Neill. I talked to Janine Crawford. I talked to Jim. And when I talked to Jim on Wednesday, he said he wasn't going to do a presentation. Now, I think something may have happened, and I'm going to talk to him later this afternoon. But it is going to be the Caltrans people, according to their PIO, Janine, said that they'll be talking about the multi-asset stuff. Now, whether the parking stuff, you know, comes in as well. But I also don't think that people are staying up on this parking thing, because I did two posts last week. And the RFP, the $500,000 RFP for what was titled the Burnham Strip parking, I mean, he got a lot of pushback. The Harbor District got a lot of pushback. And I had a conversation with the general manager, and I said, you're getting a lot of pushback, and I'm going to send you the next door just so that you have the information. So the RFP was to look at alternatives. So the consultant looked at an alternative on the west side of the highway, which from the few people that I talked to who are against the Burnham Strip parking, they liked it. But that there was a second post that I didn't make the same one post, because they're kind of not really together, but they're associated. Is that on the Burnham Strip parking alternative, you know, plan, he has now, General Manager Jim Pruitt, has put in a Deer Creek daylighting project, which is aligned with the dredging project. And he's talked to me about this for a couple of years. It's even, but I think I posted something because he mentioned it at a Harbor District meeting. And so I'm not quite sure where that's going to go. He talked about it briefly at the last Harbor District meeting during the general manager's report. So I put it up because I like to put things up as soon as I see them so that people can comment on them and get them, you know, coordinated into, you know, the narrative of what is really a very complicated area between Coronado and Capistrano.
Michelle, Frank's giving me the whirly bird here. We got to go to commercial break. I appreciate the call. You know Frank. I got to follow his schedule.
Oh, no. I know.
But thank you. Thank you. CoastSideBuzz.com. People go and look there. That's where you see the official documents. Thank you for that clarification, Michelle. And I will just say, when James Pruitt gave his presentation to the MCC, the RFP
was presented as specifically for this single parking lot on the east side. There was no mention of other. This is something where this project is morphing and drifting and becoming.
Did you read the RFP?
I did not read the RFP, no.
Okay, read the RFP, because it's all there. I mean, my title's going to take people so far. So.
This is what I would say. There's a difference between maybe what the document says and what is being presented at these public presentations of this project. And I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
Michelle, thank you so much. Really appreciate your factual commentary here.
And
bringing us around. CoastSideBuzz.com. And with that... Thank you for the call, Michelle. And with that, we go to commercial break. We'll be right back.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side. 100.9 KHMB. Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
This is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me along with Stan Warren Luttrell after Coastal Windage. We'll get a look at today in history and a brand new forgotten find. Coming up at 10 a.m. from 100.9 FM KHMB.
All right, and we're back. We're going to skip the football topic because we've got Karen Egan here. Public service announcement number 3 was rain barrels. In its 5th year, the San Mateo Countywide Rain Barrel Sale is back for San Mateo County residents and businesses. You can purchase up to 2 high-quality 50-gallon rain barrels for just $85 each, normally $160 retail price. These rain barrels will be distributed on a couple days in November. Rain barrel helps protect the water quality of our local creeks, the bay, the ocean. It also conserves precious water for your yard. We have one in our yard that we use all the time. Go to coastsidebuzz.com or flowstothebay.org. Get your rain barrels. Okay, they'd be getting capturing a little moisture this morning. This morning I literally heard water dripping in my drain pipes of my house. Drip, drip, drip. Okay. Here we go. Shooting the Breeze live interview with Karen Egan. She's the Academic Success Coordinator for the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside Academic Success Center. She's also, I need like 7 minutes to run down your resume here, Karen, because it's quite impressive. She's also a special education educator and advocate with more than 25 years of experience working one-on-one with neurodiverse students and teens. She's an executive function coach, specializing in teaching executive functioning and study skills to students with ADHD and those on the autism spectrum. I probably need help with that. What are executive skills, just as at a high level, Karen? Clearly, I do not have them.
It's not high level. It's not high level. Executive function skills are the skills that we all use to manage and maintain our daily lives: organization, task initiation. Goal setting. It's kind of the basic tools for success or managing your daily life. If you take your calendar, for example, if I didn't have this in my calendar today, I might probably remember it. But if I had a bunch of other things and I was trying to manage all of those in my brain, I might not. So organization, it's kind of the basis of productive living.
It's the gene for GSD. Get beep done.
Get beep done?
Yeah,
I like that.
Okay. as adults, you know, you most likely have a job and maybe a family. And so it's just like every day you're kind of doing this as a background activity in your life. And so we kind of take it for granted. You work with teens and even preteens at the Boys and Girls Club. And we forget that as kids, they're not thinking at that executive function level. A kid's life is kind of like my dog's life. It's happening right now. And then right now again. And then here's another moment. And so we can't just take for granted that they will absorb these executive functioning skills from just sitting in the classroom or being around their parents or adults or whatever. It's beneficial to them to get some guidance on this. That seems like very forward thinking. I don't recall getting any executive functioning guidance as a kid growing up in the last century. But I think kids today need that, and so this is something that is provided that you do in your professional life. But is it also provided at the Boys and Girls Club Academic Success Center?
Well, yeah, and even just to backtrack a little bit, I think we absorb executive function skills and we develop those as we grow. So I think of a 2-year-old starting daycare or preschool, and we say, okay, everybody line up, or it's snack time. We're developing those skills as parents, as teachers, as community members, however you want to look at it, library time, but the skills begin to develop naturally, and sometimes there's just either a gap depending on where a student or even an adult is in their developmental process. So at Boys and Girls Club, what we found was, I feel like COVID has been forever ago, but we still are seeing a few gaps here and there, either in academic or just executive function. You have kids that just didn't spend a lot of time in the classroom following direction through a full day. So what we decided to do at Boys and Girls Club was to start to implement just like a model of executive function skills, organization, keeping a calendar, holding yourself accountable, self-advocacy. Those are just a lot of things that we assume all kids know. And then we find that there are some kids that don't. Or, one kid's very organized but has impulse control problems. Or another student has total control of impulse but forgets to turn their homework in. So at Academic Success, we can look at the specific students, each one, top to bottom.
You touched on it a little bit, but in terms of the executive function, I mean, COVID just blew in just a humongous hole in our entire society, not just kids, but adults in terms of executive function, because life changed so drastically. And especially when everybody's stuck at home, you're not looking at the calendar. I got to go here. I got to go do this. Life kind of contracted down to very minimal amount. And then part of what I'm hearing of executive function is both best practices and structure, both of which just were out the window during the COVID time. So now we talked about last week about at the high school spirit's back. And are you starting to see a rebounding in the kids in terms of, kind of pre-COVID structure and best practices?
So we moved here right before COVID. So my experience pre-COVID was with high school kids in a traditional high school, and then we moved here and I started in with middle schoolers. So that was a little bit of a switch for me. So as far as best practices prior, I don't know that I can answer that, but I can say the kids at Boys and Girls Club now are extremely engaged, and we're just working really hard to make sure that best practices in a classroom are extended to Boys and Girls Club homework time, which all kids participate in homework time for 45 minutes after school.
So every club member that attends Boys and Girls Club has 45 minutes of homework time every day?
Monday through Thursday. Wow. I don't know that they do, that we don't do homework time on Friday unless they want it or need it. There's always a space for them to work if they want, but it's Friday, so, and they're middle schoolers.
I hear that.
I'm just curious, do you also work on teaching them
how to bounce back when executive function has, like, taken a siesta. Because as somebody with ADHD, I will work for, you know, 10 days, 14-hour days, whatever. And then all of a sudden, I'll have to admit to self, like, all right, I've sat in front of the computer for 2 hours. I've done nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell my team, my executive function has landed on the floor, so I'm going to take some time off to recoup. Is that something that you work with them?
Yeah, I think what I've tried to do, we've tweaked this model. Every semester it gets better and a little more dialed in. What I've tried to do is to model it after, we call it a learning center in special education. So there's learning centers at Cunha, there's learning centers, I was in Las Vegas, like there's, the learning center model is kind of what I've looked at and brought that into what the classroom is, classroom in quotations, homework time at Boys and Girls Club, where we check their grades every Monday. We see how they're doing so that there's not so much of an easy slide, or if you, especially with executive function, I don't know the statistics of the demographic of the kids at the Boys and Girls Club, so to speak, but I think we can treat most kids at this age as having a lack of attention, where there may be a deficit, if we can put it that
way.
Why
is everybody looking at me right now?
Look, I think we could just circle and look at each other. So I think when you look at the whole kid and you say, oh, what might be going on today? You say, Chris, you don't like to get up early. I don't either. So maybe your productive time is just not morning time, right? But you're productive in the evening. So I think those are the things that we try to look at and say, what else is going on? Are you playing volleyball? Are you doing cross country? Are you a big soccer player? Like, sports are a big deal for the kids. So, like, is there something else taking up their time? What else are they thinking about? You touched on some things that, you know, kids in our community are probably thinking about. And kind of where their brain is at. So, yeah, I think it's important to cut them some slack, give them some grace, and just say, you know what, you can take a little bit of a break, executive function break, or, you know, you don't have to work at 110% all the time. But if you work for 45 minutes, you're probably going to see a pretty productive kid.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to work 110% of the time, I guess, as a middle schooler, but man, when you get out in that work world, they're mm-hmm. talking 996 now. It's all 996. You know what 996 is? It's like,
no.
Nine to nine every day, 6 days a week.
That is dumb.
I agree, but tech bros love the 996 stuff.
Well, so the people who make up those rules are also the ones not sitting there doing the work so they can close their mouths.
I'm preaching to the choir over here, okay? we barely scratched the surface on Karen's resume here. You also support families navigating special education, including IEPs, individual education plans, 504 plans, initial testing placement. You have a strong background in advocacy, as you were kind of mentioning, ensuring each student's individual needs. And what I really love, and is obvious, and is real, is your belief in student potential. And I feel like that's a critical element for someone doing the work that you're doing. You have to believe in that these kids, you have to believe in the kids, and you have to believe in the future, and you just have to believe in general. Which is why they don't allow me into the Academic Success Center. Ye of little faith, that they were pointing to me when they made that quote. But fortunately, we have great people like Karen. And Karen, you're a volunteer, right? This is mm-hmm. this is a personal passion project for you. So mm-hmm. let's talk about the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside Academic Success Center. You touched on a little bit something, but what is it? Is it a something that kids have to enroll in? Is it like a highly prestigious thing only for high achievers? What is this Academic Success Center?
No, you do not have to enroll in it. You are automatically enrolled.
As a member of
the Boys and Girls Club. Yeah, so homework time is homework time, 45 minutes. They come in, again, we said they're in grade level classrooms, and
six, seven, and eight.
They, on Mondays, we do a grade check. We take a peek at that. I have a extensive spreadsheet that we use a QR code, and it goes into my spreadsheet thanks to my daughter. And it's, you know, it's formatted, and I can see any student. So our goal in academic success is no students with any grade below a C. So D's or F's, I think we can get there with C's, but, you know, as we're tweaking and developing this. So any student on a Monday that shows up with a D or an F, kind of regardless, so they could have been sick and just didn't turn in an assignment. They could have done poorly on a science test or whatever it is. So then we look at that. We then have a separate room called the Academic Success Center. And I really want to reiterate to the kids, it is not trouble. Mm-hmm. It is a place for help. It is a place for tutoring. It is a place for support.
So you're not dragging kids by the ear into this classroom because you're a bad kid, you're doing poorly, mm-hmm. so now you're going to pay the price in the academic success. It's the opposite of
that. Right, and the price is help. You know, the cost is for them to come in and sit down and say, I'll use science as an example because there's an easy model to explain. So let's say you don't do well on your science test. The science department at CUNA has a sheet for grade corrections. So then the students can come in and they can then relearn and have an opportunity to improve their grade. So then the following week, if they do their grade checks, their grade on academics on my grade sheet will be higher. And they can either, you know, stay in their cohort classroom at Boys and Girls Club. A lot of the kids want to keep coming back into the academic success classroom because it's a little smaller and it's a little more structured. So nobody at the club says you're in trouble because you're not in trouble. You just need a little extra help, which, frankly, I think everybody needs a little bit of extra help.
And if I can just acknowledge how wonderfully placed this is, just because I had something similar, but I didn't get it until college.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until my very last semester of high school that I had a teacher care enough to talk to me and figure out where my deficits were, which it turned out I did have learning disorders and later found out the ADHD and all that good stuff. But it wasn't until I took an exam in college that I had somebody say, hey, you have scores that are so all over the map. We feel like there's, and so then my shout out to Lake Tahoe Junior College. They had a academic success type center, and I got to do my homework there and learn tools. And without that, I would not be where I am at all. No way, no how. And so the fact that you're doing this with the junior high kids is so fantastic. Like, it's just like goosebumps top to bottom. So thank you.
Well, yeah, thank you. Thank you for saying that, because I do believe exactly in what you're talking about. One single person can make a major difference. And I know that sounds like a cliche, but for me, I had I struggled in college a little bit. Chemistry wasn't my thing.
By the way, where did you go to college?
Oh, I went to the University of Arizona.
And where is that located?
It's located in Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, Tucson, Arizona. Oh, okay. All right. So U of A, Wildcat.
U of A,
okay.
Yeah, Wildcat, Bear Down. So I had a teacher that was like, exactly what you're describing. This doesn't make sense. What I was doing, I was coming to class, I was going to office hours, I was doing all my homework, I was doing what I needed to do. I couldn't do it. It was, and this professor was so kind and understanding and graceful to say, like, I'm going to make you a special test because I really want you to pass this class. And so it was kind of that realization for me. That was kind of my aha moment. But, you know, when you find a kid where you're like, oh, you are struggling with this, but you're doing it. You're just a little bit maybe you're coming at it at a different direction, or maybe you're, you know, it's a little bit backwards. Mm-hmm. I think that it's so crucial to have people say it's okay. Mm-hmm. You do not have to be perfect. You don't have to have straight A's. You're probably capable of it. But right now, that's just not in the cards. But we want you to pass. I want every kid at the Boys and Girls Club to be on honor roll.
Yeah.
I want every kid at Boys and Girls Club to graduate high school. I want every kid from Boys and Girls Club to go on college and career readiness, whatever that looks like for them.
And just to add another point about how profound it can be, having that one high school teacher go from telling me I'm smart when in the past I had been told I was dumb, mm-hmm. was the catalyst to even make me go to college. Had never wanted to go to college before that because I didn't think I'd make it. Mm-hmm. And then got into college, had the wonderful people do the assessments and find out, you know, where my problems were, gave me the tools. Pretty much my entire school career, I was D's and C's. The help of the one teacher, I graduated high school with straight A's early, went into college, got the help, made dean's list almost every semester, and due to a political science class, only kept me 1 point away from graduating with full honors.
Wow.
Just from having a teacher like you who cared enough to say, things are a little bit different, let's figure out how you work.
Yeah. Well, I like your comment about when you said this Academic Success Center is well-placed. I thought you meant at the...
It is well-placed at Boys and Girls Club.
At the BGC clubhouse
sure,
on the Cooten
sure.
campus, yes. But, no, what you meant was at their time in life. And, you know, Karen, we went through a resume. She could be doing this at any level, from elementary school to college. But she's doing it at the middle school level. I have also found that I've coached kids from third grade to high school. I enjoy coaching at the middle school level because I just feel like the middle school is a unique point in a person's life where they're not a kid, they're not an adult, they're in this transition, and that's the time when they're struggling with self-confidence, with executive function, with trying to make that transition to being a young adult or a teen even. And this is the perfect time to jump in and give them the structure and best practices. As I've said to my own son, who's now a senior in high school, yeah, you know, junior high is where you learn the best practices and the structure of how to succeed later. High school is where you learn a lot of information and probably the toughest time. And college is where you specialize and further on from there. But middle school is where you have to learn the tools. You have to get the tools. Otherwise, the rest of the journey is going to be constant struggle. So the fact that Boys and Girls Club has established this Academic Success Center for 6th, 7th, and 8th graders is just such a great gift to the kids in our community and our community, because the kids, you know, are in fact the future. And so mm-hmm. if we set them up for success, it's going to benefit all of us. So speaking of the success, though, are the results measurable? I mean, do you have quantifiable data on this?
Yes, I do. It's hard to take a breath. The data that we have is a little bit tricky because the numbers vary each week. The students coming into the club each week vary. The students reporting each week varies. So it's a little malleable, I'll say. But the changes that we made this year, I will circle back to the data. The changes that we made this year have made a huge difference, especially for our sixth graders that have just come into the program. So they've not seen any other way the classroom is set up, any other way the club is set up. But the way that we are running specifically this year is like a study hall. In the classroom homework setting, they are not allowed to have their phones, which in my professional and personal opinion, phones in a classroom are just a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And so the no phones has made a big deal. The quiet time has made a big deal. we're doing little snippets on goal setting. That's made a big deal. So our sixth graders, out of 44, we just got progress reports. We only had two students with a grade lower than a C, which is really exciting to see. And there is a reason behind those two students. Like, I know exactly mm-hmm. why they didn't get a C, B, or an A. Mm-hmm. So the older kids, they are learning. We're teaching them how to do school. I think that's the best way exactly. to put it. We're teaching them how to do school. So if they miss assignment, if they're late, if they need help, we're teaching them how to write that email to the teacher. Dear so-and-so, I need help on this, or I was absent. We're teaching them how to, as many teachers will say, advocate for themselves.
And be accountable.
And
that is
honest.
A skill that's been lost over the years, let me tell you.
Yeah. So it's really nice, I'll go into a classroom and a kid will say, I fibbed on the grade check. But they're coming forward and saying, I actually do need help. They want this help. And it's, I think there's a lot of data out there that will show, the class clown or the kid who's in trouble would much prefer to get in trouble than to raise their hand and say, I need help. That's a really, really hard thing to ask for. So when we do academic success, we're saying, help is here. You don't even have to ask for it. You're just going to get it.
And I think some people underestimate how important a safe space is.
Mm-hmm.
How, like you were saying, you don't get in trouble. Mm-hmm. We'll work with you. Mm-hmm. But if they don't constantly feel like they are going to be talked down to mm-hmm. or made to feel bad,
right.
that they can come clean about these things, that a safe space is...
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And it's wonderful just to watch them blossom. We do a goal setting, and I was like, three school goals, three personal goals. And you would not believe, almost every one of them said, I want good grades. I want to graduate. I want to help my parents. I want to go to college. I want, be a professional football player. They want all kinds of things, but they're all positive.
Okay, we've got 2 minutes left in the show. We've got a phone call. Who's on the phone this morning?
Hi, it's Mark Newton, the Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside. How are you guys?
Great, Mark. Good morning.
Hi, Mark.
Thanks for calling in.
I wanted to say thank you. And, Crystalyn, the Karen Egan statue in downtown Half Moon Bay, we should start working on that now. I'm kidding, but I just wanted to say that a huge thank you publicly to Karen. She's a treasure. And we're really, really blessed to have her at Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside. And Ruben and Crystalyn, thank you so much for having her on the show. Just wanted to say that.
Mark, thank you for the great work that you do with Boys and Girls Club and what the Boys and Girls Club does. And having people like Karen Egan volunteering there says a lot about the club and your leadership. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, you guys. Take care.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay, we've got 1 minute left, so we're at speed round here.
Okay.
This is from your resume, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to challenge you on three fun facts, because I also have three fun facts on my resume, which I dusted off here, got it out of the archives. Okay, okay. I'll start, and then you counter. I'm an avid cyclist. What is one of your fun three facts?
Oh. Are you getting these from my resume?
Yes, I am, exactly.
Okay, you're an avid cyclist. I was a college diver.
College diver, okay. That's at University of Arizona. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else? I'm a practicing deltaologist. Go.
I don't know what that is. I have three Nobody amazing does. Kids and a granddaughter.
Okay, last one for me. I'm a dog person and a cat person. Yes, it's on my resume.
I have been married for 34 years. I met my husband at summer camp, and he's a dog person.
Excellent. Okay. And you are also chicken people as well.
We are chicken people.
Nice.
We are.
Nice. Okay. I'm wearing my Kauai chicken hat as we speak. Who doesn't love chickens? I mean, really. They're awesome. They're hilarious.
They are.
Okay. Karen Egan.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for being there for our kids in our society. now more than ever. And the Academic Success Center at the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside is amazing. Folks, it is amazing. We don't realize how lucky we are to have this resource in our community. Okay, next week, Crystalyn.
And Michelle Dragony.
And Michelle Dragony. I will be Halloweening. I'll be off next week. But Crystalyn and Michelle Dragony will be here. Don't miss it. All right. Thanks to Noah, Engineer Jr., Frank the Engineer, Karen Egan, Crystalyn, the interns, the accounting staff, the advertising crew. This is Ruben Truthmaker, Coastal Windage, the talk of the Cope.